Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 99th episode of Story Break, the writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie, TV show, extended universe property, novelization, manga, like actual manga. No, that's never happened. But I'm your host, Freddie Wong, and I just got over a cold. Feeling pretty good about that.
Right, fighting. Good night, Freddie. It's me, Will Campos, screenwriting legend, dropping in hot to the LZ with my Mozambique. I'm a screenwriter. I'm here for the podcast.
And a level what Apex player?
I'm a 14, I think.
Ooh, I'm a level 60 Apex player, Matt.
What are you buying?
What? I don't know what that
what
is.
What are you buying?
That's Resident Evil 4.
The Bloodhound, after he left Resident Evil 4, found his way into the battlefield of the Outer Lands, of the Frontier in Apex. They're like, they look the same.
I'm very confused.
I'm Matt Arnold.
Let's start the podcast.
No, that's good. I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm a writer-director, and I'm also one of the members of this podcast.
Yeah,
this apparently. Professional production.
99, and we still don't have it really locked in yet, guys. I think we want to get in that bathroom mirror, take a long look at yourself, and just think about everything you've done up until this point.
I've made a child. I feel pretty good about my life right now.
Well, welcome back, Matt.
Hello.
Again. Now we're no longer in the van, so we got a little room to stretch out. And I gotta say the van sound quality was really good, so I might want to kind of...
Are we going to have to move into the van at some point?
We might push into the van. Yeah, I'm just saying, guys, the van sound quality is really good.
The quality of life quality in the van, though, was not so great.
This week, ladies and gentlemen, the Battle Royale free-to-play sensation that's sweeping the nation around the world, 24/7, 365 Apex Legends from our good friends at Respawn. Little disclaimer, we've actually worked with the boys.
Makers of Field of Fire 2049, or as it's also known, Titanfall 2.
Yeah, we used some footage from Titanfall 2 in Dimension 404, so we got to know the Respawn guys pretty well, and just so chuffed for our boys over there that they got a real insano hit on their hands.
Because we were fans of Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 1 and 2.
Well, yeah,
I thought
so
Titanfall 2 was the best single-player experience of
anything. I was a fan of Titanfall 2. Now, which one am I talking about?
Hey.
Nice.
Apex Legends, for those of you who don't know, another entry in the Battle Royale sort of set of video games. Free to play, kind of like Fortnite. But kind of if Fortnite is kind of like what people who play Minecraft graduate to, Apex Legends is what people who played like more traditional first-person shooters are graduating to.
It's what people who played Black Ops 4 graduated to. how droll. What a droll joke.
Welcome to this video game podcast, boys. Welcome.
Very good. Brought to you by Kotaku.
Yes. I think here at Polygon with our video game podcasts, we like to discuss all manner of electronic gaming delights. This week, Apex Legends has indeed filled the screens across the country, and all the teenagers do enjoy clicking the keys and moosing the mouse forward, don't they? Yes, Will, what say you of the state of video games?
I don't know what voice you're doing, but
it's
love
kind of
it.
Like
it's almost like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Guy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Here, Ninja sits in his single-bedroom apartment and plays up to 12 hours a day. We can look at his car. He doesn't guy Ubers around. He has a personal driver in the form of the poor people he pays to Uber him around. Yes, this life of the streamers and the schemers, yes.
Okay.
So what are we doing again?
We're doing Apex Legends,
all
Matt.
Right. So
I was going to say, what's exciting about Apex Legends is I think this is maybe the first time we've done a video game that, okay, one, simultaneously we're all playing.
We actually are all
we
playing.
We also all like it. Mm-hmm. And it's a popular game that we're not secretly hating on and just doing this because we feel like we have to because it's popular. This became popular and we really, really like it.
It is. Apex Legends is the first game I've seen that it seems like everybody likes.
Yeah.
If all three of us can agree on something, and America itself agrees on it as well, usually that's a pretty impressive sign.
That is a razor pin point.
All right, Matt, why don't
Venn
you
diagram.
Why don't you walk us through Apex Legends?
What Apex Legends is. As Frey said, it's a battle royale game, but what's different
and so
is
so just again for the moms at home.
Yeah, for the moms at home, a battle royale game is when a single person or a squad in the case of Apex Legends is always three people are thrown into a single map. And through the course of it becomes winner takes all. The last squad alive wins. And usually battle royales involve some sort of magical shield force field that kills you that slowly makes the map smaller and smaller and smaller. The last person alive wins. Essentially, it's Hunger Games. The Hunger Games, form.
Or so, essentially Battle Royale in video games form.
Yes, Battle Royale video games form. And in the case of Apex Legends, it takes place in the world of Titanfall. So Titanfall is a kind of a futuristic sci-fi, I guess, kind of post-apocalyptic world. It's a little bit like Firefly meets, I guess, like Avatar in terms of like this very like James Cameron militaristic kind of feel. But the very basic lore of Apex Legends is that after this great war between the Interstellar Manufacturing Corporation, so late-stage capitalism done as a corporation, and the militia who were founded to fight them, after this war ended, the outskirts, the kind of the west, the western lands, mm-hmm. Were left without any sort of industrial military complex as a bunch of, you know, poor people living in, you know, the west. And for some reason, they decide that a way to kind of settle disputes and resource disputes and trade disputes and all this stuff is to create a Hunger Games type game where the best and the brightest and the most merciless killers come together to fight. And in terms of the game itself, it says where they compete for money, fame, and glory. So pretty loose, essentially Thunderdome.
And you know, and I will say the idea of using sport to distract the masses is, it's been in sci-fi. You know, I would say Alita.
It's been in the real world.
It's been in the real world. It's been Rome. But Alita Battle Angel kind of has that, right? It's like Murder Ball is the roller derby thing, is the thing that is like the sport that all the underclasses watch.
So,
so this is a sport.
It's like there was a big space war.
Big old space
between,
war.
Between, you know, late stage capitalism and late stage militarism. And this frontier of this war, these planets that they fought on, were left devastated as a result, and now all those people move to like the even wilder west where they're trying to make their fortune, and then they play this big game where they kill each other.
Essentially, the west was like stripped of resources for the war, and then the war ended, and now all these people that were just used as pawns in this war are just sitting here on the outskirts like, oh, it's the classic, like, you make a town because the railroad's coming, and then the railroad keeps going, and then Los Angeles is built, and then you're like, oh shit, I guess my railroad town is, I mean, it's the, all of Route 66. It just goes away once the people have passed on.
So what most people know about Apex Legends, like the lore is kind of like very much in the background. The most part, you're running around, you're jumping, you're slipping and sliding over this playground island of structures and stuff like that. Yeah. And you're shooting, finding guns and killing each other. So the characters are what people most associate with the game. So like in terms of the characters, why don't you give us like just like a little flavor of who we're dealing with
here. You have a Bangalore who's this.
There's eight characters.
So like, for example, Bangalore is this cool woman who had four older brothers and is, you know, essentially the classic. She used to be in the military. Now she's got nothing to do anymore. And that's who Will was making fun of in his intro. She rhymes everything like lock, stock, and
two smoking barrels.
Yeah. Loot, shoot, and scoot, boys.
Then you got Bloodhound, who's this like mysterious hooded figure who's got a raven who just likes to murder people. Mm-hmm. You got like Caustic, which kind of ties into the lore a little bit. He was like a scientist who was working on trying to protect the crops during the war to fund the army. And then he kind of went crazy and trying to make the best pesticides. And essentially, he's the Green Goblin. He essentially turned into like a crazy guy.
So there's a robot that's trying to like find its own identity, like it's trying to figure out the meaning of life.
Basically, the robots have Chappie played Borderlands 2.
Okay.
There's Gibraltar, who I just really like because his backstory is just like sweet. It's just like he's a gay man who him and his boyfriend took his dad's motorcycle and they fell in a mudslide and then their father saved him and lost his arm. And he's like, man, I got to help my family out. Like, he's just this like kind of, and they have a picture of him swinging with a baby. So I'm just a fan of his.
We've done two Battle Royale games already in the past. We've done Fortnite. We've done PUBG. We're taking on another one. How do we?
To me, the difference with this is that both PUBG, our takes on PUBG and Fortnite were both like, how do we get to the conceit as quickly as possible as these just people go into a cube? They were essentially Cube the movie. It's just like this bizarre scenario gets everybody into this battle
royale. There's an inherent mystery. Like the thread. Well, you know, what was interesting about PUBG and Fortnite, and what was kind of fun figuring out the story, was that because there's nothing to go on, it essentially became a mystery. It becomes the core dynamic of the movie. You're trying to figure out what's going on. Who is, you know, player unknown? What is going on? Why is this Fortnite island so weird? Whereas here, a lot of that is already laid out. Like, again, I think the official lore on what the Apex games are and what you win and who runs them is all very vague. I don't think they go into it. but it is like these people come together to fight in this game to make money,
yeah,
essentially, right? Oh, but then it also says that there was something about this is how they settled disputes.
Yeah.
So is it about settling disputes or is it about making money?
Here's a sentence on what the Apex games are. Mm-hmm. It's pioneers, explorers, outlaws used to spend their lives locked in endless power struggles. Now they settle their differences in the Apex games, a blood sport where legends from all corners of the frontier compete for money, fame, and glory.
Vega.
There's like two,
I know.
But that doesn't make sense. There's
like two
different. Either they're doing it to settle their differences or they're doing it for fame and glory. Like, I feel like those two things don't.
Unless
like,
you get
quite...
really famous for being like good at settling your differences.
Unless it's like you're like, okay, well, all right. So, but if there is these legends, right? Like, again, the title, right? Mm-hmm. And then you would do, I guess, like. All right, so if you're this aggrieved community and you're a, you know, you have a dispute over a territory with another community, you send your legend in and they send their legend in and you fight it
okay,
out.
Okay, yeah, maybe, you know what, that's actually getting close. How about this? How about you do something where it's like, okay, try to think about it working backwards from, okay, it's a frontiers land where law, right, it's like the Wild West. Like, you have sheriffs which are kind of legal, but they're not even really legal entities in a lot of towns. Mm-hmm. Like, it is more or less, you know, mob rule. So, like, how right. do you settle things? How do you... It's like the mini purges. It's like one way you stop people from shooting each other in the street from family, you know, rivalries turning into duels all the time is it'd be like, hey, 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 buddy, settle down, save it for the games. Like, if you want to settle this thing, like you do, well, we have the games. I don't think this is like a once a year event.
I guess, but then I guess doesn't that run contrary to like the like 50 people all yeah. against each other
it's
nature of a battle royale?
Because
it's, like, it's one thing, like if you're like, okay, we're going to like, we have fight court and in fight court, it, you just beat the shit out of each other in a mm-hmm. ring. Like, then I understand. How like you're my champion, that's the guy I'm mad at, that's his
yeah.
champion, whoever wins this fight, X, Y, and Z. That kind of doesn't work if it's like there's 50 people all fighting.
I guess
each
if we're going to stick, which we totally can and maybe should, is if we stick with like, yes, every time the Apex games happens, it is 60
well, so,
people drop and only one group of people come out
well,
alive.
So
then,
I think
yeah.
maybe it can't just be individual level things. Like what I could see is if it was like, let's say you have the different planets, you have the different sort of communities, and they're like, hey, we want more space taxes this year. And the other planets is like, no, we need the space taxes. And then it's like everyone's vying for like some resource. And then this is the way that it's like, okay, these ones are the most capable or what have you. They get it. It's like kind of trial by combat writ large in a societal sense. As a means of governance.
Bear with me, because weirdly enough, this is actually closer to, which we didn't, I mean, we did an okay job on it. This is closer to Warhammer, I mean, to
Blood Bowl.
And I feel like we can just be like, guys, like we're adapting a game. I feel like we can be a little looser. For example, I think you can build up to the finale is this Battle Royale, but like, I
yeah.
think you, I don't know if you need to make the Apex games be every single Apex
game,
games is... Gladiator would be boring if it was like, hey, every single Colosseum fight is a horde of warriors versus a bunch of slaves in the middle of the ring. They like mix it up. That's what makes that movie work too. Like the
I
action,
see,
if
I
the
see,
action
I
was
see.
Always the same thing, it'd be fucking boring. So like, it's either going to be something like Hunger Games where it all builds up to this one game, and then you really have to make it like,
that's
what
like
is this game?
The big regional tournament
about,
is all as everybody.
Yeah, like it's also, this is a free to play game that has one mode right now, but in their lore, it seems very much like it is used for multiple things. It's used to settle disputes. It's used for fame and glory, is used for stuff. So the idea that there would be Apex games and sometimes you visit and it's like two fucking families have won a subtle duel and they're being
yes,
dropped
Hatfields
into the,
and the McCoys.
Yeah, they're dropping into the arena. Like if this was Fortnite has like 50v50, it has other stuff going on.
Yeah,
so like
yeah.
I don't think it's
so we'd be loose with it. I get it.
Like Thunderdome also doesn't only have one sort of like battle. Like I think it's not that far fetched to be like if we're gonna do a story in the
okay,
lore of Apex.
Alright, then here's what I would say.
It's a Grand Prix.
Alright, I'm gonna take a shot at it. Mm-hmm. Is that I would say that the planet, because it's set on a planet, right? Like the Apex Legends player, is it like an island on a planet? Whoever owns this island,
it's
right?
It's an island, yeah.
But it's like, because I don't know if the Outlands are a bunch of planets or one planet. I don't know what the fuck any of it is. All right, so there's this island, right? And it's the frontier, right? And everyone is killing each other and backstabbing each other and it's this desperate scrabble for resources. There's no law and order, right? And I'm this guy and I have this island, right? And I'm like, here's it. And maybe they're used to, again, there's used to be an old military training facility for one of the
yeah.
sides of the war. That's why these guns and structures and facilities riding around.
Yes.
They got abandoned and I discovered it, right? So essentially what I'm going to... It's like, Freddie, you always talk about this, that the guy that really made out in the gold rush was Levi's,
yeah,
right?
Baby.
That like everyone else was panning for gold. He's like, I'm going to sell pants to the guys panning for gold.
I'm
everyone needs
I'm
pants.
I'm panning for pants, baby.
So you would do that. This some enterprising person realized that what this world needed was a way to settle differences,
violent
right?
conflict resolution.
But they're like,
services.
It's all. But again, like, I don't have the muscle to enforce law and order. That's right. never going to work, especially over like, you know, like, especially if you're talking about it's multiple planets or something.
Right,
like
right.
That. So he's like, here's what I'm going to do. It's like Judge Judy, right? Like the you can go through court if you want to, or you and your aggrieved party can go on Judge Judy, and you're going to abide. Judge Judy is a non-binding arbitrator, right? But so it's like the Apex Legends Island is, it's like whoever owns it is like, if you got beef, you can come to my island and fight each other and kill each other, right? And we'll set up a game for you guys to figure it out. And whoever wins that game, wins the dispute.
It's like Judge Judy if they punched each other.
Exactly.
It's a good TV show.
So then what you would, pretty much, right? So, but then what you would do is like, so yeah, a lot of the events on the Apex Legends Island are not necessarily a zillion people all duking it out, right? Like it could be a three-party thing, you know, it could be whatever. Because this person realizes...
It could be like a two former roommates thing.
Yeah, everyone realizes, it's like everything's border disputes, right? It's like, this is my territory, this is my territory, I have the claim to this gold, right? So he's like, all right, you can all send your champion, you'll do it, and then I'll stream it to the entire galaxy and we'll watch it and I'll make a fucking fortune while you guys are fighting over scraps of dirt, essentially, right?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of solving things in an organized manner is like, not doing that is actually weirder than doing it if you look throughout human history. Arguably, we still have it with like UFC and stuff like that. Yeah, but it was only like 60 years ago where it's like, hey, if you're a gentleman, Andrew Jackson, don't fight in the street, go and duel each other. So like the idea that, yes, in this outskirt land, like that this has become kind of the law of the land.
But so one thing you would do is that it's like, again, like in terms of like why this is a level playing field is it's like it's neutral territory, right? So it's no one has the territorial advantage.
Yeah.
It's all, you don't come in with any weapons. It's just whatever you can find, right? So it's like the, like, again, like if you're a small faction and then you have a dispute with a larger faction, you can take them to this court and not feel like you're going to just get bulldozed, right? And the, so yeah, that's essentially the dynamic of it. And then it's also, it's like, hey, and for the larger faction, it's like, hey, would you rather waste a whole bunch of money trying to wipe these people off the face of the earth, like your enemy, or do you just both want to each send one guy in? This is going to be a lot more efficient.
Yes.
You know? I think what you would do is this big 60-player battle royale game. You could do, it's like the first time they've done something this big before.
Right, right.
Do you
right.
know what I mean? Because there is like, you would
some
do
dispute.
Mm-hmm. You would do like, I don't know if this is in space. Again, I don't know what the deal is, if it's planets or whatever. But it's like, if you were going to do like, if I was going to do like, oh, this is a string of planets, or like it's the asteroid belt or something like that, you would do like a comet that is full of super rare minerals, right, is like flying through space and like everyone is claiming it or something like that. You would just do if it's about territory, you would need some sort of MacGuffin or something like that. Like everyone wants this thing and they realize the frontier is going to rip itself apart unless they all go in on one big Apex Legends match. Does that sound
like something like that? I don't know if you want like I think that's essentially what you build up to. I was thinking, by the way, you could do kind of a cool thing. It makes me think about in the Civil War, if you're rich, you would pay for somebody to take your draft spot.
Mm-hmm.
So you also do like one of the characters. So you want somebody,
history, by the way, I think that's actually kind of how it's worked.
So you want somebody, because you could have somebody who's been in the Apex games a lot, and it could be like, well, of course, a lot of times when two, you know, rich people slap each other and are going to settle their differences in the Apex games, and they both hire, you know, there's like people who are trained essentially
to solve these legends are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they do it professionally.
Well, I was thinking about that This American Life, the guy who literally said, I'm going to give my fortune to whoever had the most children.
The Stork Derby, Will, an incredibly strange and bizarre piece of Canadian history that happened during the Depression, wherein a lawyer on a lark in his will bequeathed his sum of approximately, I think it's about $10 million US now, to whoever in the next 10 years has the most babies.
Interesting.
Weird.
It gets
it's
pretty
incredible.
Ugly and weird.
It gets very ugly and weird. It ends up being like, hey, guess who that's going to end up being? A lot of poor people, a lot of people not part of sort of the Anglo-Saxon sort of Protestant parts of Canada. And guess who's going to be disqualified for bullshit?
Oh,
those very
geez.
Same people. It's
oh,
an incredible story. This American Life did an episode on it. But
shouldn't that be on This Canadian Life?
Damn, Will. You're going to go after the fucking king? Jesus Christ. Will Campos,
hey,
you're fucking putting
Ira,
the
anytime
the
you
want to
get onto this podcast and fucking explain yourself, you're welcome.
Hey, Ira, did you run?
I'm terrified.
Is America out of ideas for you? Is there enough stories in
oh,
this
I'm
country?
I'm sorry. Is America not interesting enough, Ira?
So
should get down here with your square frame glasses and we'll have a little, we'll settle it in the Apex games.
So over
that's fucking right. Fucking Ira Glass did an episode of This American Life about Canadian story. That's some fucked up shit.
And Will Campos straight
and don't up try don't and Ira don't try to paste it all together with some theme, right? Like, this is all about ambition this week, and this is a story about ambition, and ambition is American, so that's why it's okay to do a story about Canada. It's this American life, Ira.
And wow. Or don't try to turn around and be like, this is actually about the continent America. Be like, oh yeah, then where are all your South American stories, Ira? Huh? Yeah, where are those
they
stories?
Quite, they actually, pretty do, quite hard. A, they yeah. actually yeah. do quite a few of those.
They did?
Yeah. They do stories from like all over the world. They do really great journalism over there.
Oh shit. Okay. Anyways, so what I was saying, I love this American life. Anyways, what I was saying is that you could, I wonder if you could
especially
do something
that sticks to its theme.
So I think what you want to get to is, and again, yes, this world of like, of these, again, it's the Wild West. It's like, it's, I mean, this is a structure of a Western, like Lonesome Dove or any of these things. It's like disputes are settled in violence, but they're settled in an organized, violent manner. Like, again, they don't go around just shooting at bars, actually, in most Westerns. It's like High Noon or whatever. It's like in Lonesome Dove, there's multiple shootouts.
Right.
It's like, we're going to settle these things here. So you would follow the movie through your characters where you're seeing how the Apex games work. There are certain, you know, disputes that are settled, and then there's this turning point where the whole world is turned upside down because the railroad man showed up or whatever.
So we're 20 minutes in. Let's get into some of these characters then.
Who's our into the story?
I don't know.
It's Chappie.
Well, ignoring
I kind of think it's Chappie the space robot. He's my favorite.
Okay, well, ignoring, I mean, 100%, because I think we will do a squad of three that comes in, and Chappie should definitely be one of them. I think it's like Chappie and it's, or it's a twosome or whatever, but like, I don't think you can make it about Chappie.
Why not? Oh, this is because Matt's racist against robots.
Right, Matt hates all robot things. We know about this.
All right, well, considering we saw how well Chappie did.
Have we talked about Matt's robot racism on this podcast before?
We have.
I'm not racist against robots. I love a lot of stuff that has robots in it.
Matt has lots of robot friends.
I have lots of robot friends. I just don't get that. Do we really want to get this? I don't get that interested in themes where it's like, is this AI the same as sentience? To me, that's just a lot of freaking people who like can't deal what it is to be human and then have to look outside.
I feel like on more than one occasion, you've been like, I can't give a shit about this character because it's a robot, though.
But I love a lot of robots. No, I... Specifically, Black Mirror. Specifically, Black Mirror. Yes, I have more sympathy for the actual human being who is like clearly mentally depressed and needs to see a therapist because he's got issues than a bunch of the computer programs he coded. Yes, I care more about that guy than a bunch of fucking NPCs. Yes, 100%.
Name your top three favorite robot characters ever.
Real Steel Man.
Okay,
robot.
Real Steel Man. That's okay. One. Okay. That's top one. All right. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
I don't know what a Bender.
Bender
from Futurama.
Sure. Okay.
In fact, a lot of characters, just every robot in Futurama, Freddy, I love. Name your top 10 favorite robot characters. No, I want to see how many robot characters you can name.
C-3PO.
Yeah, C-3PO is awesome. R2-D2. Great.
My man, RoboCop.
He's a cyborg. That's different.
Yeah, he's a cyborg.
RoboCop, the one that isn't.
Oh, the ED-209?
ED-209.
Okay,
yeah,
anyway.
it'd be like caring about ED-209.
I care about ED-209,
more.
Okay?
Well, that's... I'm just saying it's no different than Matt's people who care more about dogs than human beings.
I named three in the span of 4 seconds. Matt's named two in the span of 10 minutes. Let's
okay.
go, Matt. One
okay.
more.
All right.
One more, Matt.
Oh, my God.
One more, Matt.
What?
One more robot, Matt.
Pathfinder, motherfucker. So we're going to have Pathfinder, but...
Let the record show that Matt has artfully dodged that question.
I just can't think of any robot characters.
This, interesting. All right. Today on list, robots.
Yeah. The reason... Fine. Here's why. Because, go ahead. What's the story of Pathfinder,
okay,
the robot?
All right. To take a shot at it. What I like about Pathfinder, I read his little blurb. And so, like, Pathfinder is this cutesy little robot with a smiley face on his chest who woke up in a factory one day, and he didn't know why. Like, it was an abandoned robot factory, and he's like, what am I? What's my purpose? Like, what am I supposed to do? And he's like very curious about the world around him, right? Which to me is a great way to get into this insane world, right? Like, because it's like you've got is the blank slate character, right? To kind of get you into the wild world of the frontier or whatever, right? So he emerges from this factory, and it's like the beginning of WALL-E, right? Where you're like, okay, we're with this weird little robot in this like strange,
robot
this
character.
Strange land.
I like WALL-E. Yeah.
So then you do, he's wandering the desert, right? And he's seeing, you know, bad guys and stuff like that. We're getting a little hints of the world around him. Maybe there's a sandstorm and he gets all junked up, and then maybe he gets taken.
He's dancing.
He's about to get ripped into. It's like at the Force Awakens, like he's about to get scrapped, right? Like, or he's about to get ripped to pieces or something like that. And then some kid saves him, and then the kid takes the robot home to like his little like border town, you know, like his frontier town, you know, thing. And he fixes the robot up, and the robot's like, you know, like he's like, I've been, you know, like my purpose is to, you know, like he discovers a bit of his programming, right? Like a bit of his programming is like, you know, he was designed to explore. lore, but like, you know, like he has like an open loyalty circuit or something. Like that. Anyway, you do the robot bonds with the community. He's like, you guys saved my life. I want to fight for you guys. Like, you know, I want to help you guys out. And then like they hear about the big Apex games and the big thing that's going on. And he decides to be a champion. He's like, I'm just a robot. I'm just wires and circuits, man. Like, it doesn't matter if I die. So I'll go. And then he's going to go. And then his buddy, the kid, is like, if you're going, I'm going too. Cause you're more than circuits to me, Johnny Five. You're my best friend. And we're going to go win Apex Legends.
So the main character of that story is that kid.
I mean, no, the main character, it's a buddy movie.
I'll put it this way. I'm more interested in the kid who's going to send his robot friend than the smartphone that shows up and is like, I if I die, nothing happens. And I'm going to go into this game because
learn.
But literally, I'm going to go into this game because the stakes are, is I'm just a robot. So it's okay if I go into these games inherently. I'm like, yeah, of course it's better that you go in the game than any of the human beings on this thing.
Well, I'll say this. I'll tell you who the movie
is. And that's not racist. That's what every single person in the theater would be thinking and every normal person would be thinking, because it's just true. Like, yeah, you're going to care more about the little kid than you're about the robot.
All right, Grandpa. Let the record show.
But to be fair, I'm just saying, I think that's a weird. It'd be like if Star Wars stuck with C-3PO.
Yeah, it would be so weird if the whole beginning of the first Star Wars movie was C-3PO wandering the desert.
No, but C-3PO. No, that's what I'm saying. But the C-3PO is not the main character.
All right. Well, then what do you think about that as an intro?
Pathfinder is an inn.
Yeah, I think Pathfinder can be a fun inn.
I'll tell you who the main character is not. Fucking Mirage, the most annoying character ever written in video games.
Who's Mirage?
Mirage is the slick talking, fast talking, cool dude. Boy, oh boy, is he annoying to play.
He's annoying personality, but what Mirage is, he's a guy that his brothers went to war, and he stayed home with his mom, and he works on Halo technology, and he's kind of a goofball. So, like, actually, he's a pretty good character if you're going to do this sort of story, because what he is, he's a selfish guy who's kind of a mama's boy who never went out into the big world, and literally his brothers
he does work really well as an
And then he's forced to be selfless in some sort of way and actually take a risk and go out, and Mirage's ability is that he can make a decoy of himself. So what you would see is, like, he would be skipping work by making a decoy of himself and running off and hitting on women and drinking at bars instead of like doing actual work. And then over time, he's going to actually have to do something important and valuable and risk his own life to do the right thing.
Here's what I would say then, as it feels like, I mean, I could see that as your three characters, mm-hmm. is that you have the girl, you have the robot, and then you would have like an older figure who knows the score a little bit more. I don't know. It reminds me of John Malkovich in Empire of the Sun. Do you know what I mean? Like the sort of cynical huckster kind of guy. You know, maybe he used to be a hot shit Apex Games guy, and then they found out he ran away during one of the matches. Do you know what I mean? Like, he chickened out and disgraced himself or something like that.
Right.
Here would be my
like
shot.
There was a scandal because they found out that he wasn't even in the match. It was just one of his holograms because he was too scared to go in.
Here would be my shot at the characters. Because, I like Pathfinder. I think you can do Pathfinder, Mirage, and Lifeline, because Lifeline would be your moral compass. She's the one who has this selfless reason
and
to
Lifeline,
do the games.
For those
Lifeline
who don't know.
Is her story is that she's a child of war profiteers and she left home and then she's begun to join the Frontier Corps, a humanitarian organization. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like the equivalent of somebody realizing your dad's big oil and then like running off and wanting to fix the world instead because you're ashamed of yourself. So like I can see,
and she's a medic.
Yeah, she's a medic essentially. And what's fun with that is you have this moral compass, you have this like robot who represents like the existential crisis, which is always a fun character, mm-hmm. and then you have this like selfish asshole. And the other characters, and for the old man, I would do Gibraltar. I would just make him older. He's this like sophisticated soldier, but the other guys are bad guys because you have Bloodhound, Caustic, Wraith, and those are all like assholes. Like, those are all just murderers. So I feel like that's like a pretty
fun. Bloodhound has a kind of like a Darth Vader scary guy energy because he tracks you and knows where you are. So it's kind of a good villain.
Or you could do Bangalore as this like war torn soldier who like after war literally had nothing left to do other than just keep killing. And now, you know, she's the John Malkovich. She's cynical and old and she no longer does the Apex games if you want to. And then, of course, the surprise is that she is going to... Oh, that'd be a good twist, is that she's the one who's, like, training them and, like, talking to them. Like, you don't know what it's like when you go in there. And then right before they're going to go and they see her, it's like, what are you? He's like, well, of course they hired me. I'm the best fucking there is.
Yeah,
and
she's a mercenary that helps them learn how to fight.
They're going to fight against her.
Yeah, that's like pretty good.
And actually, Gibraltar has a good, fun energy of being, like, the guy who's just the good guy. And you're like, ooh, I feel bad for going up against the good guy.
That's true. Yeah, because it'd also be more interesting that everybody in the games is somebody they hate. You just essentially do the beginning of Force Awakens. Lifeline is sitting alone in a ship scavenging for stuff to make her medical droids, and then Pathfinder shows up.
Oh, here's what I would do. Here's 1,000% what I would do. I would do that, because again, she ran away from home, essentially, right? Yeah. And well, again, I feel like this is probably, you're like, this is Lifeline's origin story, so you would do that Lifeline is, you know, 16, 17. Like, this is like how she became the Apex legend. She's not not an Apex Legend yet. You know what I mean? So you would do that. She came to this planet to help people, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like she ran away from home. She got sold like some piece of shit spaceship, right? Mm-hmm. Like some guy scammed her. She didn't even realize it. And then when she was getting into orbit, the engine exploded and she crash landed. Mm. So she's stuck in the middle of the fucking desert and she's trying to find this org because she's trying to join like a Doctors Without Borders type group, right? So she's trying to find this humanitarian base camp, right? Mm-hmm. She has to find a path to this base camp and she's wandering the desert and she's about to die. And then she crosses paths with this Pathfinder robot who's just woken up, right? Yeah. And is also kind of new to this world, essentially. Yeah. And is she again, like Rey and BB-8, like, you know, fixes him up.
Yeah.
And so then he's like, he's starting to figure out his purpose.
Yeah.
And he helps her get to this camp, right? Mm-hmm. Where the Doctors Without Borders people are going to be. And sure enough, when they get there, there's some kind of crisis, right? Yeah. Like the that ties into the bigger world and the need to go into the Apex games, right? And they're like, we don't know what we're going to do. So they get to where she was going, but then there's some bigger problem, right?
Yeah.
And then the solution to that problem presents itself when it's like, oh, we can join this thing, I guess. I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
how
I mean,
exactly
you have to find some reason she goes into the Apex games.
I don't think she can just go into the Apex games with the idea of like, I'm going to help people in the Apex games because like you're going in there where people are killing each other.
But what's nice about that is that you imagine you'd see her again, not to just say Blood Diamond, but now I can literally see the comparison to Blood Diamond where it's like Mirage is your Leonardo DiCaprio who's sitting there is like, hey, this world's crazy and dumb. Like, I don't do anything. I don't do anything for anybody but myself. And this girl shows up and, you know, again, she's trying to find this humanitarian organization. And then she's shown up on this planet that settles things with death matches.
What does she want? What is she trying to do at the beginning? She came to do good, right? And it's like her family was war profiteers, right? So it would be like they go around. And again, if we're saying there's all these different communities that are struggling to get by out in the old West, right? Or in the new Space West, then you have this group of not missionaries, but like, you know, like they go around trying to provide food and water and aid to people, right?
Mm-hmm. It's tough if she just shows up in this random place, like, for example, like, not saying Blood Diamond because you don't want to do this like white savior story, but like it's like she's going there to help like the country, so it seems weird to be like this girl's like, I'm going to do humanitarian stuff and then I crash landed in a bad place.
Well, I mean, she doesn't have to have like a why is that wrong?
And then so what she's trying to do
she was trying to get to, if you're like, I'm gonna go join Doctors Without Borders in, you know, like they're in a country with a rainforest and then your helicopter crashes in the rainforest, like, yes, you were trying to get from the rainforest to where they're going. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so that's how she meets Pathfinder. Again, that's just like your beginning. I was just saying like as a way to get into the world. But then like once you get to the, again, you can even buy that it's like she's a young kid, she's idealistic, she wants to, you know, make the world a better she wants to make the universe a better place, right? Like which is like a nice, you know, optimistic a goal, and she's come to the darkest part of the universe to do that in, like this kind of kill or be killed area. But again, like, I'm like, what? It's just I'm having a trouble connecting that to then she's going to join this big battle royale game with a robot and another guy.
Can she set up shop as like a doctor there? Like, again, and then it's the thing is like she's just trying to do good, she helps out sick kids, but then the world is
in that case I would do, she gets to the, again, it's like it was gonna be like that she was gonna join the Doctors Without Borders in this town, right? In this village, and so she's like, I gotta get to that village so I can join the rest of the team. And then she gets there and it's like, congratulations, you're it, the main team got blown out of the sky. Like, they all got murdered and all their shit got taken, you're the doctor now, like, you're in charge, right? And she's like, what the fuck did I get myself into, right? So but now she's like, she and her robot are like trying to provide aid to this community, right? Like, they're trying to help, right? And so then it would be like, then I get like the impetus of like, okay, they need water or whatever, right? Like, and she's got to go do that, or there's some sickness trying to, do you know what I mean?
Yes. You know what's also, you can make the Apex games a little bit more of a threat is like, what happened to the person she was going to work for, right? There's this doctor in the town, like, or whatever. It's, he got challenged to an Apex game and got killed. Like, if somebody challenges you, if it's like serious, if it's like you've done something,
like
it's
old school dueling.
Yeah, it's duel law. Like, you could not duel, but you're probably chased out downtown or killed. Like, if there's a valid reason for your challenge, you're going into the Apex game. And it's like, because again, you want that threat. It's not just like she's sitting there as a doctor and then just people like go do Coliseum stuff and happen. It's like, and it just also instantly paints you to like, one, she's lost her mentor. She doesn't have what she was here for. And then also, this place is super dangerous.
Here's what I would do then. Here's what I would do. I would do that she gets there. I would do that the rest of the the team never showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do that. She's like, all right, what do you guys need? You guys need water? And then she goes to get water, right?
Yeah.
And then, or like whatever they need, like a medical supplies, right?
Yeah.
And then sure enough, they find a crate full of medical supplies that have dropped into the wilderness or whatever from some other thing, or like they're,
yeah.
a ship, they find another shipwreck or whatever. Just bear with me. That ship is wrecked in the jungle somewhere.
And somebody claimed it.
So she comes and steals the stuff and brings it back. And then once she brings it back to the city, she's like, hey, I did good. I made it better. Like, you guys cured the illness.
Yeah.
And then, yes, they get their town gets challenged to an Apex game because someone else is like, what the fuck? That's our shit.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, and you fucked with us. Like, we have, again, they have a much.
That thing landed in my field. It was mine. Like, it was my ship. It was in my field.
Yeah. Exactly.
And are you going to pay for all the trees that burnt down? Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Like,
so
and then it's like, you're going to the Apex game.
Yeah. So then she gets challenged to an Apex game, right? And it's like, oh shit. Like, she's going to have to fight someone to the death now on this crazy planet. In this thing or whatever, right?
You might even do a thing where they literally put you in jail if they think you might run away before you can go in the Apex games. She's like, I want to get out of here. She's just saying, it's like, no, you have to go into the games.
Yeah, okay. But it's even then, it's like, if you reject this, they're going to invade us and kill us.
Yeah.
They're only doing this because this is cheaper for them.
Oh, I like her having like a moral reason why she has to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it's like, if you break, sure, you can not go, but then they're going to kill you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're going to lose that
fight.
And
if they lose, all they're going to do is take the ship back and stuff.
Yeah.
Because
what
I would do is, it's like,
because the town doesn't give a shit. They're like, so here's what happens. You go in, you're gonna die, and they'll get the thing.
Well, the funny is, it's 3-on-3. It's like, you can look. You just gotta find two people to help fight with you. And of course, all she's got is this robot, and the robot's like, yeah, I'll do it. Like,
no problem.
Yeah, maybe this is what I was built for. Maybe I was built to help you and protect you. I can kill people.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody else wants to help her. They're like, don't you care? It's like, no. If you look, they're not invading the town. If you lose, they're just gonna take all your stuff. Like, we're fine.
Nobody wants to come, easy go.
Yeah. If you lose and die, we don't give a shit. We're back to where we were.
Yeah, we'll find another doctor.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So then she's got to find another person to help her.
So there's always some well-meaning sap with a guilty conscience who will blow through town eventually or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So that's interesting. I like that. And so then, yes, you would do then. Like, she's like, okay, so this is her first Apex game. She gets the robot, and she's trying to find a third champion. So they're like, you got to go hire a legend.
If it's Mirage, Mirage is a mama's boy. He should totally be like, what the fuck are you? Because she sees this guy who's got this decoy thing. She's like, that's incredible.
We could use
that. He must be a fighter. He's like, no, I use this just to, like, be with multiple women at once and hang out and do nothing. But he's a mama's boy. Mm-hmm. And his mama gets this illness. And she does it out of the goodness of her heart. And then you have that scene where mama's like, you're going to go into that game and help her if you really love your mama. He's like, damn it, I have to do this or whatever. But that's how you see how that she's this good person. Even though he's like, no, you're on your own.
he's like, of course,
she's still a doctor. She's still going to, the night before she dies, is going to take care of this nice old woman. You know?
He's like, my girlfriend lives in the town?
Yeah, he lives in the town. He's like the town.
He's like, my girlfriends aren't going to like this. And it's like, okay, they know. What, you're here the whole time? It's like, yeah. Like, my decoys broke the news to all of them, all 12 of them in town.
So it's just this, like, goofy, selfish scumbag. But the only thing he truly loves is his mom. And then, yeah, she's a good person. Even though this guy literally rejected and laughed in his face, like, yeah, the first thing you should learn around here is don't get challenged to a duel.
So then they go and they do their first match.
And they win it.
And they win by the skin of their teeth.
And I would do
Gibraltar is this ex-Apex legend that lives in town.
Mm-hmm.
He's their coach.
Yeah.
So then they win their first big game, right? This is where you introduce the glitzy world of, like, the sort of broadcasting side of it, where they're like the wrestling, they have like the B card fight, the one that there's like, they're the blood sport that's going on where everyone else is getting up to get their snacks. Do you know what I mean? And then it's like, they have some big stunning finish, and it's like, oh shit, these guys are pretty good or whatever.
There are some Apex Legend games that are literally just groups of legends that the challenge is, we're better group of legends than you. And those are like the most exciting games. The ones where it's just like essentially pure sport. Like, these four groups of legends are just going to fight each other to the death. And again, the better legends you are, the more likely some big oil company is going to pay for you to be part of their dispute and whatnot.
So then, all right, so just to follow that through, then, like, if the stakes of this thing were the medicine for her town, she gets the medicine for her town.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. I don't quite get how that gets you to the other thing.
Yeah, so then what's the next?
It needs to throw a wrench in some larger organization's plans, or they attract the attention of the wrong people. Like, maybe it's like the other town hired some, like, unstoppable legend, right? You could even kill off one of the guy that caught whatever, and they defeat them, and the other guy's like, these guys are a threat. Like, they beat our one guy that we had. Like, this person, we had rigged this to win for your side. We need to get rid of them, and that can escalate from there. Like, it needs to cause ripples, right?
Okay. Yes, it would be like, well, who shot down that original thing? Okay, here's what you do. It's like Rock Ridge in Blazing Saddles, right? Like, they're where he wants to build the railroad,
right?
So you do to this town. They don't realize it. They're sitting on top of, like, the this huge resource cache, right? Like, you know, like it's a natural resource or whatever, right? And you do, like, there's this space, this company that wants that land, right? But they want they want to chase the local people off. Like, that's why they shot down, they're the ones who originally shot down the aid company that was coming for her. And they were like, okay, great. They're the ones who gave them this plague to fucking kill them off, right?
Yes, caustic. It's the classic. Well, even if you're going to do that, they're going to sell the antidote. But I'm just putting too caustic as this crazy guy who created this plague that was going to make this entire area sick, and then everybody's going to run or die. And then this corporation gets to build their rock ridge or whatever, gets to build a railroad.
Yeah. So, yes, they were trying to chase these people out of their land to begin with, right? And then it was like, all right, it's an Apex Legend map. We'll stake you guys for, you know, like, is it's like their local people that they want to take in, or the people that the dispute was with or whatever. So yes, then you would do, they lose the Apex Legends match and now they're stuck. They survive and they're like, you know, like, and now they're coming to prominence. Maybe you do, as a result of the attention, they somehow wind up discovering the strategic resource that their town is built on or something like that. I don't know. But yes, then I would do like the,
That's fun. Cause I would put it this way. Cause the classic would be, okay, first you just seals these people because they were bringing medicine because there was this outbreak. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden she's smart. She starts getting curious, like, why did all these people get sick? And then the classic would be the mayor of this town didn't get sick. And then she discovers, like, he's got an antidote or whatever. It's like, he's in on it. Like, he agreed. He had no problem with getting his entire area sick so everybody would die so then he could sell his land off for $1 million so that they could make, you know, get unobtainium or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yes, you have your big oil tycoon company, which if you want to, could be her parents, by the way. It could be like, then this shows up, it's like surprise, as her parents are the super evil bad guys who are trying to take this land to build their
railroad
because
she
runs away from.
Oh, it's the company that her parents are.
Yeah, then her dad and mom literally watch her go into the games, and she's like, you're either going to watch me die or I'm going to fucking take you down. Those are only two things that are happening.
That's pretty good. Okay, so yes, I like that. Okay, so they win their first match, right? And then they get the ship, right? Like, they get their supplies that they said. And then they're going around curing people, and they are, you know, trying to discover the source of the outbreak to, you know, stop the plague. And in doing that, they discover this big scheme that's going on, essentially. Like, holy shit, like, this is all fucking part of this big thing. They were trying to wipe us out to whatever, right? And then you do the other side. Basically, you would do, they invade, right? Like, you essentially flip it the other way, where it's like the next court battle, essentially, is them taking the big spaceship company to fight court, essentially, or something. Like that. I don't know.
No, you could do
is... By the way, what's fun is that whatever the obtaining is, then the final fight is everyone wants this, and it's them trying to fight for the control of their own
home. Yes, because that's what you do, because it's like the company agrees, like, well, fine, we'll fight it out for the land.
But we're opening up this stake to any and all comers, because as far as they're concerned, it's like, oh, we'll win this.
So, of course, yes, all the rival gangs outside, all the other small territories that wanted to own this, and of course, the corporation's going to pay for the three greatest killers that are all across the galaxy or whatever, are going to come here. And there's, again, that's the one law that this town has to abide by. They all agree to the Apex law. So, yes, that's going to be, if this corporation wins this Apex game, they get all, essentially, you're playing for the frontier.
Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what legal loop-de-loo, like, makes sense that now it's everyone gets to go after it, but sure.
Well, no, the company would open it up in that
way.
But
why do they get to open it up? It's not their land.
It'd be a challenge.
Because it's unobtainium. Everyone wants it.
Yeah, but so? Like, but again, like that, but okay.
It'd be like this. However you get there, it's like, surprise, they find out that the mayor was trying to sell out the town for unobtainium. This group of people were going to do it. The corporation's sitting there in the town square with a bunch of armed soldiers with the guns pointed at the townspeople. The townspeople are ready to attack. It's about to be bloodshed. Somebody comes in the middle and says, stop. Like, again, there's no law here. Like, this corporation could kill them all. They could fight back. They're like, are we going to all kill each other right now? Like, do you think you're really going to get this land if we do it this way? There's one thing we can all agree on. Let's do this the right way. Let's do the Apex way. And then even the corporation's like, all right, like, fine, look, fine by us. We can fucking win an Apex game. Like, we'll take this thing out. Because you could even do that the land was sold, right? It's the classic, like, somehow somebody did sell the deed to this entire company or whatnot.
You would do the mayor sold the land.
Yeah,
right,
I would get
but
to some point.
Like, that's not a legitimate thing.
Yeah, and it's just chaos. Everybody's about to kill each other. And then they agree to do this Apex game. And the corporation's fine with it because the corporation knows they can fucking buy
the three best killers in the world.
The
three best campers. They're going to jump relay and wait the entire end of the match and walk in and get the last two groups.
Okay, so then you would do essentially that. I would make it like a hydrogen gas, and then what I would do is the townsfolk, they're bargaining, their card is they're gonna blow up.
Yes,
they can blow it up and no one gets it, right? Yes. But they're gonna destroy their town, right? So like that's the because they have to have some quarter, because like otherwise the table like, all right, we'll fucking kill all
exactly.
of you.
Exactly, there's a stalemate
shit?
That nobody will get what they want.
Yeah.
Not everybody has to die here. You don't have to blow up all hydrogen. The most significant source of hydrogen gas in the entire galaxy.
Mm-hmm. The most common element in the
universe. Whatever it is, unobtainium in the galaxy, yes. So the Apex game, and then this Apex game gets fucking crazy, and it's like everybody has a chance, and there's going to be 20 teams.
I still don't quite get how everyone else gets a chance at it, but whatever.
Yeah, it could be like this group of people would be like, we settled this planet first, and we
left.
Oh,
so everyone comes in with their phony claim.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, yes. Okay, yes. There you go. Yes, it's like one of that inheritance comes up, and then right. Yes. Yeah. Fourth cousins, 12 times removed, or we need some of that money.
So yeah, exactly.
Everyone has like got some claim to this.
Yeah. And this was our land originally. Yeah, but you sold it to us. Yeah, but we wouldn't have sold it if we knew there was unobtainium underneath it. This is bullshit.
And then someone's like, enough. All right, we're all going to do one big Apex Legends game, and whoever Apex Games game to do it. And then you realize that of course the Apex people were in on it too. Like this was part of the thing. Yeah, this is going to be a rating spectacular. And then so then they go into the match. And then they fight and they win, and that's the movie. Yeah. Whatever.
You have a strategy sequence at the Unobtainium organization or whatever, and they're all sitting there, and they're like, I suggest that we get the three bets and we go straight into Bunker and punch the shit out of everybody. And so he just pulls a gun out and just shoots him in the head. He's like, no, we're not doing Bunker, you idiot.
You just hot
noobs.
Drop right away onto the supply ship. What are you, crazy? Yeah, do you not want to win?
Yeah.
All right. I think you've got the structure for a plot. What I don't quite see is the character growth kind of
for her.
Thing,
like
for
what?
Her.
What is the final battle for her?
She found out her parents were war profiteers, right? And then again, yes, I like that her parents' company has is again putting someone into the match. She wanted to make the world a better place, unlike her parents. And then she came to this world, and again, it's been this constant, like doing the right thing is hard, right? Like that's kind of like what she's struggling to deal with. It's like, I wanted to help these people, but then I did this thing and I went into this Apex Legends game where I had to kill someone. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're kind of wrestling with this stuff. I like the idea with her and her robot with Pathfinder is that it's like, she's trying to do the right thing. And then it would be like, I think it is like she loses her way. Do you know what I mean? And then Pathfinder has to help her find her way again. It would feel like she would have to lose sense of why she's fighting. You would do that at the beginning. It's like, I'm going to help this town, right? And that's what it becomes about. Like, I'm going to, and maybe she, like, the mayor seems like a cool person that she trusts or whatever, right? And then she finds out, holy shit, this is all part of this big power struggle thing, right? She has wound up now kicking off this whole huge squabble, right? Mm-hmm. And this whole huge blood fight, and all these people are going to get killed, right? And, and she's like, I came to do better than my parents, and like all I've caused is violence, just by my own presence here. And she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then especially if you're going to do like the town itself is like just all people seem to care about is just money and power and all of this stuff. So like, does she go into the last game? Would she want to fight? Like, who does she fight for?
I mean, that's the real question. I mean, she has to go into the game.
Well, right? I know she does, but I'm like, so to like, me, why? Like your crisis moment where her being like, everyone's pumped up for this thing. And she's like, there's 100 people in this game. 97 people are going to die tomorrow. And it's all my fault. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And it feels like you would also want to do one of those things where then she's going to be thrown into the match against someone that she's going to have to kill or that she cares about.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's, I know not everybody here is a fan of Hunger Games, but I love the Hunger Games. And what was brilliant about the last thing is like they do a really good job of the final moment is this act of agency where it's like, I'm not going to kill. Like, I'm going to kill myself. Like, I'd rather, me and him are going to kill each other at the exact same time and nobody's a victor. Which essentially defeats the purpose of this game. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is there a way to...
It's like Lawrence of Arabia. It's like, so long as you fight tribe against tribe, you're going to get taken, you're going to get rolled. Like the frontier people, we've got to stand together. Do you know what I mean? Like that would be like the kind of thing, wouldn't it?
Is there a way... This is very
like
and
that just and that makes it different than the first one, which is like just a straight up more traditional fight. You know what I mean? Like it's like they try to pull something off here. Like they realize like the Apex games are how they keep us down because they're like they want us to fight with each other, right? Like it would even be finding out that this evil galactic corporation runs the Apex games because it's like they're like we need to keep these people at war with each other, right? Like so that we can manipulate the interests and stuff like that, but we don't want it to be too destabilized, right? So it's like if we have this game, they're constantly going to be squabbling and we give them a way to do it that encourages them to do it, we can come in and do what we want, right? And even this big game is a way for them to essentially clear house on all of the most powerful fighters and to essentially hobble everyone, right? It's a eye for an eye makes the world plan.
Yeah, maybe the right thing is to do that. They go against the people who run the Apex games. Because I was thinking with the thing that you have that you got to be able to use is you got Pathfinder who's a robot who just means that he can probably hack into computers and shit like that because he's literally R2-D2 or whatever.
And he's got,
but
like
you got Mirage who's got this, who is the perfect doppelganger. It's the perfect, he's somewhere not. So like you could do, and of course when you're in the Apex games, like you're under surveillance. But you want that moment where it's like Mirage isn't actually there. Mirage is hacking, and all of a sudden Mirage is right behind the producer of the Apex game sort of thing, where it's like, it's been all this decoy.
I would do that they discover like the real bad guy plot, which is going to be to take over the entire frontier, right? Like, this is all about, this is stage one of an all-out hostile takeover. They're like, look, all right, this is, we want a clear house, you know, we're going to get rid of the most power of them, but the biggest symbols they have, they're all going to die, and then we're going to take over, especially now that we know this unobtainium is here, we're going to take over the entire region, and we're just going to lock it down, and we'll kick these people even further out into the sticks, right? So they've got the evidence, right? And they need the whole world, they need the entire frontier to see it.
Yes.
So the thing everyone's watching is this huge Apex game.
Yes.
So then you would do, there is an old broadcast relay somewhere on the map, right?
On relay or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So then you would do, they've got the thing, it's like Hunger Games, it's like, I gotta say the message that's gonna spark the revolution or whatever, right? So she and her team have gotta go do that, and they've gotta get from point A to point B because they drop on the complete other side of the map or whatever, and in between is everyone out for themselves, right? And then, of course, the bad guy team who knows what they are doing and is coming straight for them, right? So then this last match is them trying to get to that tower to broadcast this message to fucking get everyone to ride, to fight together, and they've gotta, you know, convince people to help them along the way, and then use this as an chance to, and again,
the end of Serenity, kind of like, you gotta push the signal, you gotta show everybody what the Apex Games is doing.
Exactly.
I was gonna say, so this is maybe a little too stupid, so it's like, you want them to shoot people, but you also don't want them to kill people at the end, so bear with me. Could they do a thing where they take Mirage's technology when the whole time they come in with special guns, and when they shoot people, what they're actually shooting is like a knockout train, because she's a doctor, so she's got like anesthesia or whatever. They knock them out, but the bullet also has like some of Mirage's technology, so it just knocks them out, but then it creates a copy of them that like goes like like dies. So they're not actually killing anybody. And then when they do the signal, they press a button and everybody wakes up and they're all knocked out because she doesn't want to kill people.
That's interesting.
What's fun about that
just
is
just like a fun extra thing. They're like, what are these crazy guns are using?
Yeah, that's more, the idea is like everyone's have shields, right? So they have to break the shields first. So they do need a fight for real, and bullets break shields. But once the shield's broken, then they can get like this.
I just like, also, not only did we boost the signal, but fuck your stupid games, nobody here today died.
then all the
people disappear, and then all the people are invisible, just like Mirage cloaks when he gets
You would do that. They're like, he's like, you fool, what army are you going to fight me with? And then
then everybody wakes up and they are all angry at the Apex, and then all 60 people there turn around to the central tower or whatever. This army.
Okay. And then, or it's like one of those things where, I mean, the other version of it is like the kind of Rogue One type thing where like, you don't even know if they're going to live or not, but they got the message out.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And it's like, they're like, what's going to happen now? And then they see the spark of the revolution getting ignited or whatever, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good.
I dig that.
It's one of those.
Can you summarize it real quick for me?
Okay. An idealistic young medic and a dopey, sincere, homicidal robot team up to do good in the wasteland and wind up through a series of crazy circumstances fighting in the Apex games, the fight court of the future, and discover a plot by an evil corporation to take over the frontier itself, and they've got to fight back by entering the biggest Apex game of all time, along with their wacky holographic trickster buddy, whose name I forget.
Mirage.
And here's a question, because... it's stated in their things, Pathfinder's always looking for who made him.
Oh, that's your stinger at the end. It's like in the end when it's like with Star-Lord, where they're like, do you know who this guy's dad is? And I was like, what? And then they're like, stay tuned for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, no. Of course, this is an easy ending. The fucking, his creator was Mr. Apex Games. It's Mr. CBS or whatever.
Because he's got
a TV on him. So they're about to kill him. He's like, you wouldn't kill your own father, would you? And Pathfinder's like, what? He's like, you're a walking TV. Who do you think made you? You're our first prototype for fucking King of TV in every single household or whatever.
Or you could also, that could be a really good like act four thing, is they realize that this is one of their robots.
Yeah.
And so then he gets hacked during the game. They lose him because he gets hacked and becomes a champion for the other team.
Yeah.
So then like but this is what you do in act four during all the betrayal stuff is you do that like Pathfinder, because they're trying to interrogate Pathfinder, right? To figure out what's going on. So Pathfinder gets captured, but then they reprogram him to be evil Pathfinder. So she's got to go up against evil Pathfinder in the last game.
Yeah.
But in Pathfinder is the broadcast relay. So that's not about just getting to one place. They've got to hunt down Pathfinder.
Oh, that's cool.
And Jack and hack him so that he'll come back, but also that he will be able to broadcast and expose what's going on.
It's a very, like, literally Final Fantasy IX. That's essentially what it is. It's like, who am I? And it's like, surprise, you're the son of the bad guy. And then it's like, well, I guess I'm a bad guy now. Then all the friends are like, you're not who your father is. You're who you are. And he's like, you're right, I am. That's essentially Pathfinder.
Yeah, it's an old remember who you are moment.
That's great.
There we go. We've even answered some big lore questions that have been
over. That's my favorite of the three battle royales, I'll tell you what, because it feels like a movie.
It feels like a movie. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, and also
I like them all. I think it's a fun
trilogy.
And also,
you know what? We've gotten better at this 99 episodes in.
Have we?
Yeah, I think so. And for the 99th time, folks, stick with us. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, who knows?
Hey guys, welcome back. This is Freddie Wong, pro gamer, pro streamer, and we're going to check on how the people think about our Apex movie by going into the game itself and pitching this movie to the randos that I'm going to pair up with. That's right. What you're hearing in the background is the menu music of the game. I'm sitting here, my whole streamer set up ready to go, matchmaking, getting in there. We're going to try and find some cool gamer guys. And gals, maybe. Let's be honest here. My experience has been mostly guys. To pitch our movie to. Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, you guys have, like, read all the Apex, like, lore and character bios, right?
No. I can't say that I have.
Let me tell you. It's some pretty great lore. And you're missing out on some great writing. Do you guys want to hear my pitch for an Apex Legends feature film? Oh, another team! Oh, shit!
You played dead like a pro.
Well, they got me. Okay, you know what? Those guys were not receptive to my pitch, and they weren't very good. So, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. We're going to find some more guys. Hey, guys, while we're jumping, do you guys want to hear my pitch for what an Apex Legends movie would be?
Mother, please. My ear's about to...
Do you need me to turn myself up? And that's a disconnect. All right, moving on. All right, clearly I'm coming on a little bit too strong, so I need to gain their trust. I think I need to win a round with these guys before they'll listen to anything I pitch them, so I'm gonna try that. Yeah, baby! That's what I'm talking about! Hey, do you guys want to hear my pitch for an Apex movie?
Sure.
Yeah, so basically, like, Lifeline is an idealistic young medic who comes to the Outlands to be a doctor for the struggling mining town. She crash lands the desert, teams up with the Pathfinders looking for the person who, like, created him, and then together they get into the Apex Games because there's a border dispute, and the Apex Games are basically like Judge Judy meets, like, Trial by Combat, so each side sends in a champion. They win it, but then because they win it, they attract the attention of the IMC, which is the bad guys from Titanfall, and makes them realize that there's, like, resources and stuff that the town's sitting on, so now everyone in the galaxy's coming to fight for the town, so this is, like, one big giant Apex Legends games where, like, 60 people are all fighting for the town, so Lifeline has to team up with Mirage and Pathfinder, and they got it, like, you know, save the town. What do you think?
Hey, could use a little word.
Could use a little. We're never gonna find out what he said because he got cut off by the game disconnecting us, a winning squad. But I think what he meant to say was could use a little Pathfinder. And there is. There's actually quite a bit of Pathfinder because it turns out that Pathfinder gets hacked in the middle of the last battle and he joins a bad guy team. So Lifeline has to also save Pathfinder and you figure out what the whole story of Pathfinder is. So that's another successful pitch from the Storybreak gang. This is Freddie Wong coming at you live from video games.
Gamers, am I right?
Man. What's the deal with gamers?
We were just talking off mic, for those of you a little behind the scenes. We were talking about my new stand-up comedy persona as a gamer comic. I'm working on my Type 5, so one day I'll get there, guys, and you guys are going to be there. You're going to see that video from the Laugh Factory just slaying. Hopefully I get to take down a heckler.
Oh, that's
gamer
always
comedian
fun.
Takes down heckler.
Gamer comedian destroys heckler.
Destroys, owns a heckler. You don't tell me you're not clicking on that suggested video.
Anyway.
How's our fan art looking like this week?
Thank you again to everyone who's put up with our Shark Cop obsession, which I swear to God is going to be coming to an end soon.
No.
We're going to do an episode on Shark Cops.
We got two very good pieces of Shark Cop related fan art. One from our good friend Sam Archangel, who did a drawing of the Shark Cop truck, which is also a Shark Cop, which I think is very good. It's like Sharkception going on. And then we also got an awesome book cover for Shark Cop Swim or Die by Jonathan W. Hobbins. It look, it's got that classic like airport paperback novel thing going on. It's James Hammerson is the writer, which I thought was very good. So thanks guys for that fan art. You can also find the Shark Cops and Trucks theme song for your audio pleasure on the Facebook group and Story Break Twitter page.
Are at RJ Story Break, and the Facebook group is at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. Go ahead, set it as your ringtone for whenever I call you. That way you know it's me on the phone, guys. I worked hella hard on that. That was a good song, by the way. Who's your favorite Shark Cop, Matt?
Robot Cop.
Cybertooth?
I mean, I don't remember his name, but yeah, Robot
Matt's
Shark
Cop. Matt's a fake Shark Cop fan.
Fake Shark Cop fan, that's what I thought.
I think the Shark Cop fandom is a little more inclusive than you two guys are giving it credit for, I think.
A little more inclusive than we are, but not inclusive enough for people who don't know the name of one of the main characters of Shark Cops.
Anyway, that's it for this Shark Cops and Trucks fan cast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to MaximumFun.org for having us on their excellent podcast network. Head over to that website and check it out and find some other things for fill your ear holes for you to listen to in your day-to-day. My name is Freddie Wong, and this week I'm going to recommend something Matt recommended to me, Free Solo, the Academy Award-winning documentary about rock climbing. Excellent documentary, and my hands were sopping wet the entire time.
Ugh.
Yep.
Ugh. Wait. Why?
Well, it's a parasympathetic nervous response when you see someone climbing.
Oh, no. So your palms were sweaty. Yeah. Weak, your arms are heavy. There's vomit on your sweater already. Mom,
yeah.
Spaghetti. That's
what
you're
saying. Yeah.
Nobody says I was so nervous my hands were sopping.
Sopping what? Yeah, that's a term everyone uses. Yeah,
but I palm sweaty palms is a thing. I've never heard. I just, when you said that, I thought your hands were like you had like just had washed your hands and gotten out of the bathroom and there weren't any towels. Sure. And then you watched Free Solo.
Sure felt like it. Tell you what, watching that movie.
Wet.
I'm Will Campos, and this week I'm recommending that Spider-Man game that everyone got months and months ago.
Was it mainly the time machine? Is this 2018?
Hey, it's a good game. It's one of the best Spider-Man thingies in a non-comic sense that I've seen in quite some time. So good job, Spider-Man game, for being good. Go play it if you haven't. It's quite good.
I'm Matt Arnold, and I have a new baby, so the only two things I've experienced are Final Fantasy IX and the Big Family Cooking Showdown on Netflix, which is like British baking, but cooking with families.
Well, you can't recommend both, so recommend one.
Pick one.
I recommend watching Big Family Cooking Showdown while holding your baby and then in your other hand holding the Nintendo Switch playing Final Fantasy IX. Is a great experience.
You got us.
Matt already teaching his daughter how to skirt by around the rules for technicalities.
Multitasking. She's going to learn how to cook and play Final Fantasies. So it's going to be great.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week for our 100th episode.
Oh, my God.
The 100, baby.
What was our original Rocket Jump podcast called?
Face Rocker.
Face Rocker. Face Rocker lasted exactly 100, right? And then we called it quits.
I think so, actually, yeah.
So I guess the question is, will this last longer than Face Rocker? You'll have to find out.
Tune in next week
to see
if there's more
the week after.
Okay, goodbye, everyone.
Stellar pitch, Matt.
This cocoa is perfect, honey.
Oh, thanks, babe, but the kids made it. Sherry, Kevin, how are your Max Fun Drive decorations coming along?
I made a giant enamel pin for all of us to put at the top of the rocket.
But, Mom, I always put the pin on the top of the rocket myself.
Oh, Kevin, honey, it's time to start sharing these things.
Whatever. The Pod Fairy isn't real. Mama and Mommy pay for a quality podcast.
Mommy? Mama? Is the Pod Fairy fake?
Well, sweetie, the truth is no one Pod Fairy could make all the wonderful shows you love to listen to.
And it's true. Your mommy and I choose to pay a small monthly amount to make sure those shows exist.
I guess it does take a lot of work and resources to create a podcast, from generating ideas and booking guests and writing scripts and editing.
Yes, honey. That's very important. And starting March 18th, we can listen to the year's best Max Fun Drive shows, knowing that we're helping make them happen.
We wish you a great Max Fun Drive and a cool enamel pen.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.